Let's turn in our Bibles to John chapter 2, and I'm going to be reading the first 11 verses of John chapter 2. Previously, we have the beginnings of Jesus' public ministry, where he calls the disciples. This Sunday, we're looking at the first of the miracles that he performed. At a wedding, where Jesus turns water into wine. In the book of John, there are 7 of these miracles. This is the first. Let's read God's word together. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. And when the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood 6 stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so. And the master of the banquet tasted the wine that had been turned, or the water that had been turned into wine, and he did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But now you've saved the best till now." What Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. And after this, he went down to Capernaum with his mother and brothers and his disciples, and there they stayed for a few days. Let's pray and ask God to bless what we have just read. Our Heavenly Father, may your Holy Spirit now work in our hearts so that we come to appreciate our Savior. May we also believe in him as well and behold his glory. I make this prayer in his name. Amen. What type of needs do you have? Now, there are some needs which, if you don't have them met, you won't live. You have got to have food. You've got to have water. You've got to have air. I will even go so far as to say you've got to have companionship. You will not survive unless you have friends. But there are other needs which we may think to ourselves are not so significant. Perhaps you can live without them. Such things as a good reputation, peace at work, an environment that is conducive to good health. We think those things may have some importance, but they're not the most important things. And some of you may even go so far and say, God just isn't concerned about those secondary matters. Those matters are too human, too worldly, not God-centered enough. But I'm not sure that's the case. And after reading this passage, I know it's not the case. I think God is very, very interested about the mundane matters of this world, which a lot of people would think is foolishness. As I read the Bible, as I read the Bible stories, I see Jesus concerned about such trivial things. Now, back when I was in seminary, we had a class in what's called pastoral theology. It's basically how you deal with people.
And the man who was teaching told this story. It was about a little girl, and for Christmas, she wanted a puppy. Parents said, no, you can't have a puppy. We don't have room for a puppy. Puppies just take up too much time. But that little girl prayed for the puppy. And on Christmas Day, guess what showed up outside of her door? A puppy. Parents didn't get it. It just showed up. Now, that's a true story. Now, I may have gotten a few of the details wrong, but that's the gist of the story. And the reason he told us this is because you don't want to tell children there are certain things you can't pray about. And also the fact that God does meet some of those mundane needs that we often have, those wants. Look at this story. Look at what's taking place here in the first miracle. Is Jesus raising the dead? Is he healing someone of leprosy? No. Is he casting out a demon? No. Oh, we'd say, well, those are major needs. His first miracle is turning water into wine at a wedding so there would be no social embarrassment. Very, very earthly, very, very down to earth. Now, before God turned water into blood as a sign of judgment, here he's turning water into wine as a sign of his grace. As I look at this story, it starts out focusing on Mary. And like Mary, you may be in a position where very earthy requests come to you. Very mundane requests, which you feel some need to take care of. Now, I think Mary has a lot put on her in our modern world. For example, in Roman Catholicism, she is considered by some a co-redemptress along with Jesus, which is wrong. She supposedly had a sinless birth. There's the perpetual virginity of Mary, never mind she had other children. It's a lot of weight to put on a person. And then you have the added weight of being the earthly mother of Jesus Christ with all those promises that were made about him, that he's going to be the Savior of his people. Now, speaking of pressure, that to me is a lot of pressure that is put on this woman. And notice, we don't see Joseph here. That is because probably Joseph had died, and now Mary is a single mother having to depend on Jesus and his disciples. So that's Mary in this situation. And notice here a need arises, a very human need. And we see Mary acting like a mom. Here's the situation. A wedding is taking place, and they run out of wine. And you've got to understand that back then, weddings lasted not just one day, but the entire week. And the bride and the groom would be paraded through the streets in their wedding attire. And the whole community would have to come in, and they would be eating and drinking every night. Can you imagine the expense of having a wedding back then? Now, I want you to think, we've had some big weddings around here, haven't we? We had the Balkan wedding done at the club. Are you still paying for that one, Jim?
She is,
okay. Big affair, lots of food and drink. And then there was the Davio wedding, it was the same thing. And don't you like those weddings? With all the food, all the drinking, everything is great. And yes, there's a lot of expense that goes along with those weddings. It was a big communal event. Today, big communal event back then, which lasted a week. Thank goodness ours only lasts a day. And notice you've got Mary, and she goes to Jesus over a problem of running out of wine. And notice, John the Baptist isn't there. I don't think he's the type you invite to weddings and parties. But Jesus is. And to run out of wine at a wedding was a big social embarrassment. You just don't do that. And can you imagine the little old ladies talking? We went to the wedding and they ran out of wine. What kind of family are they for running out of wine? Can you believe it? They're not going to have any type of marriage after that. But Mary, she goes to Jesus. And notice, she doesn't tell him to do anything. She just says, Jesus, they've run out of wine. Now, I think the implication is she wants Jesus to do something. And at first, you may read this passage and you may think, Jesus is being a little snarky here. Woman, what has that got to do with me? Actually, at that time, it's a polite address. Now, there is some distance between the two. Jesus is the rabbi here. But Jesus also says something else. My hour has not yet come. And in the fourth gospel, when that term is used, my hour, it is referring to the fullness of the glory of Jesus Christ. It is death and resurrection. He is basically saying, now, Mom, it's not my time to show my full glory. But notice what Mary says afterwards to the servants. Do what he tells you to do. Here's what I like about this story. It's that Mary has the freedom to come to Jesus, and she's not afraid to bring very trivial needs to Jesus Christ to deal with. We sometimes think Jesus is only interested in the grand, the glorious, and the great. He is not interested in the earthly, everyday, run-of-the-mill type of events in our lives. But yes, he is. Yes, he is. And sometimes we may think God is too busy. He's got too many other big concerns, like what's going on in Ukraine or China, to be worried about my insignificant needs. But no, God is not too busy. God is God, and Jesus Christ is the Son of God. What do you tell your kids about prayer? What do you tell your kids about what God can do? Now, we've got the grandkids, and here's what often happens. We will be at one of their basketball games, and Paisley will come up to me, and it's because Mom has told her to come to me. My Jane, that is, tells him to come to me. Can I have $5 to get some treats? Now, what do you think I'm going to say? No, I don't have time for that. Go away. Go talk to me. No, I give them the money. We have a heavenly Father and an elder brother, Jesus, who is also concerned. And a lot of times, Christ gives us what we want. Now, I am not saying there are not going to be times when you have to struggle in the Christian faith. I am not going to say there are times when, as a Christian, you will be persecuted. But don't ever think God is not concerned or Jesus is not concerned with social embarrassment, with very minor needs. And like Mary, who is a good disciple, we go to Jesus. But notice something else here about this story. Christ can meet those needs in amazing ways. Look at what's going on here. Jesus says to the servants, you see those six water jars over there, each holding between 20 and 30 gallons that are used for ceremonial washing? Fill them up. Fill them up. And then, without any grand hand waving, incantations, that water is turned into wine. 100+ gallons of wine. And when I read that passage, I'm thinking, man, the Surgeon General, he's not going to like that. That's an awful lot of carcinogens floating around there because, you know, wine is evil these days. But he does it. And I want you to notice something else about this wine. The servants bring it to the master of ceremony. He tastes it. He takes it to the bridegroom, who is responsible for this party. And the attendant says, man, you know, usually at these parties, they serve the best wine first. And then later on, when everybody's drunk, they bring out the lousy wine. But this wine is great. You saved the best till now. In other words, the wine that Jesus produced is not the kind that you get in Walmart in what we used to call a milk carton. It is not coming in those little plastic containers. This is the type of wine you would have to go downtown to one of those nice restaurants like the District, which comes in nice, expensive glasses. That's the kind. It's the best wine that Jesus produces. What does that tell us about Jesus? He can produce the best, the top of the line. He was there at creation. Makes me wonder about, man, creation at the very beginning must have been great, because he's taken this water, he's turned it into great wine, the kind that you and I would want. And what do we think about Christianity? We often think, oh, it's old, it's boring, it's stale. How come every time Jesus shows up on the scene, such as this wedding, it turns out a lot better than anybody else expects? Because that's the type of God that we have. He's the type of God who says, let the good times roll when I'm in town. No need for fasting. It's time for feasting. Because Jesus is in the business of restoring life to its fullest. I have come to give you life, and life to the fullest. And you go back into the Old Testament, listen to those promises that God made to his people about the future messianic age. And I want you to notice here what it says at that time. In that day, the mountains will drip new wine, and the hills will flow with milk, and the ravines of Judah will run with water, and a fountain will flow out of the Lord's house and will water the valleys. He's bringing wine. Wine to feast upon. And Jesus is telling you this morning, don't think I have come to bring in the old and the stale. I've come to bring in the new, the joyous, the exciting. And I can meet even those mundane needs in ways you do not expect. Oh, but that's not all to the story. Oh, there's even more. Remember what I said about Jesus coming to bring life to the fullest? He's going to come again one day. And do you know one of the ways his second coming is described? As a wedding. There is the wedding banquet of the Lamb in Revelation. And I want you to think about that imagery that the Bible uses for that future miracle that's going to really meet the mundane. What do you think is going through their minds back then and our minds today when we talk about a wedding? Great food. Think about those weddings where you went to with the broiled shrimp and the cocktail sauce, the roast beef and the bread. Plenty to go around. Think about the joy of conversing with each other. Is that part of the great weddings? Think about the revelry and the joy that is there, the dancing and the singing. And Jesus is saying this, I'm coming again, and there's going to be a great wedding, and the wine will flow, and there's going to be greater joy. There's going to be, oh, so much more, and all those trivial needs you have are going to be met beyond expectations. No, you're not being too worldly. No, you're not being too earthly. God, through Jesus Christ, brings joy. And sometimes in our circles, we are known as the frozen chosen, those who are always down or ready to start a fight at the drop of a hat. But I read the Bible, and joy seems to be prominent for God's people. So we have a story here, a true story, about weddings and wine and weddings. It's a story that tells us that Christ can meet our trivial needs and will one day, in the future, meet them beyond expectation. And that is the wedding that we all should be looking forward to. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. We have a wedding to attend. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we ask now that you will give us the joy of our salvation, where nothing is too small for our God. And that you are showing us, Lord, that the mark of your kingdom is joy, not always sorrow. And one day, all of those needs that we have will be fulfilled in you. So be with us now as we worship you today. Strengthen our faith and give us the joy that comes from the Holy Spirit. Amen.